Our call to worship this morning is from Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now we're going to sing Joyful, Joyful. And I'd like to have you stand, and the second verse is going to be no instruments, so we can enjoy our songs, our voices.
Today is the first Sunday of 2024. How many of you never thought you'd make it to 2024? You know, you just don't know. Good to see you this morning. Got a little frog in my throat here. But hopefully you got a bulletin as you came in today. Want to go over some of them, highlight some of those things that are there. But tomorrow at 9:30, we are going to what you see today will not be here next Sunday. We're going to take down all the decorations tomorrow at 9:30. It's an open invitation. Ron, you can stay home. You don't have to be here. So. But if you want to help take down some of these decorations and put them away for next year, for the later part of this year, you are more than welcome to do that. Also, there'll be church council meeting at 7 o'clock this Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we are going to still have Joy Kids, but it's going to be done in a different way. Amy's got some ideas that she's going to do, and she said, well, as long as there's Dean and Kathy Anderson that's going to be here and myself, she said, we can handle it. So it's going to be something completely different than what's been done before, but she wants to keep the kids coming together and to bond together, even though typically January we don't meet for the whole month because Patty goes over to Tanzania. So that's going to take place this Wednesday. Confirmation is at 5:20, and Thursday we continue our study with the book of Esther as well. How many here have been a part of Via di Cristo? If you have attended, please stand. I just want you to stand so that there may be others here. I just want the others here that have not gone, that they may see who has gone, and they might want to talk to you to say, well, what is that all about? So you may be seated. Thanks for standing. There's quite a few. And Now, just want you to know that they can't tell you everything. There is a little secret that goes along with that.
And, surprises. There are no secrets.
Okay, surprises that they don't want to tell you about. They are surprises. And I'll tell you what, they're awesome surprises. And you will go like, wow, that was quite something. And you, if you attend, you are really a guest. And so something is always done. You are treated like a king or a queen, however you want to do that. So I just want you to know that that will be taking place. I believe it starts next Saturday. Is it next weekend? Yep. So it's just the men one weekend, and then the women are the following weekend. It's kind of a separate thing there. And you'll understand that more if you attend, if you're a part of that. And there's a reason for that as well. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you've seen people who stood up. And if you don't feel comfortable with any of those that stood up, you can always see me and I'll make you feel uncomfortable. So. One thing that was brought to my mind this week is that some of you heard that Daisy Brenner passed away from cancer. She's 38 years old, or was. And she has 10 kids. And her funeral was yesterday. And it was a wonderful funeral. The message was there for everyone who came that need to have a relationship with Jesus and trust in him. And I just want you to know that if you would like to help the family in some way, here's how you can do that. It's up to you. Send it to the funeral home. It's Henry Olson Funeral Chapel in Estherville. I've got the address. If you need the address, I can give that to you. And just make it, you know, to the Brenner family, and they'll make sure that they get whatever is given to them on behalf of what has taken place in their lives. But I can't imagine, 10 kids. That means the youngest one probably will never, ever know his mom. But,
and she homeschooled them all.
And she homeschooled them. Ay, ay, ay. If I was a Norwegian, I would say, oofta. But I'm not. But that's I just want you to think a little bit about what they're probably going through today and thinking of the days ahead. If there's some way we can make the load a little bit lighter for them. I mean, I just think, how would you like to go shopping groceries for 10 kids? I mean, you got to take the kids with you to push the shopping carts. It'd be more than one, you know? So, I mean, that's just some of the ways that if you want to be of any help to them or lighten their load, that's how you can do that as well. Even a gift card from Fairway, because there's a Fairway Inn. There's a Hy-Vee also in Estherville, too, but if pick up a gift card or something and either send it to the funeral chapel there in Estherville, Henry Olson Funeral Chapel, and they will get that to them. So, and just a little reminder that Marion Kyle is in the hospital, and Enid Criswell is still at home. She's doing okay with things, but she's battling cancer too. So just some of those things. So let's just look to the Lord in prayer this morning before we move on with our service. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, even though there are things that we know of that probably aren't always the best. But we come to you, Lord, because we need you and because we love you. And what better time as we begin a new year to bring these requests before you this morning. And we know that you're a good God, you're a great God, and awesome, and a lot of things that you do even before we even see them happen. And we know that your hands will be upon the Brenner family through this time as well. We know that it probably hasn't been easy on them in the last few months either. Who knows? I didn't know Daisy. But Lord, we know that she lived a life that pleased you and always glorified you regardless of what she was going through. And so we thank you for her faith. And we also think, Lord, too, of the mission team that is planning to go, as well as Patty Griffiths, as she is already over in Tanzania, that you would use her, as we know you always do and always will. Thank you for her willingness to be willing to go to across the other side of the world and to speak for you and to show others the love of Christ, even though they have no dreams to be looking forward to in their lives. But she becomes their dream when she shows up. They just love it when they see her and can touch her and touch her hair, and she can touch their hair. Who knows? But Lord, for people who don't have much, yet they have everything because they know Jesus Christ as their Lord, and it won't always be this way. We have the promise that we will be with you in heaven, and that's a great place. So we thank you for reminding us today that we are sinners, and we need a Savior who can save us from our sins, and Jesus is the only one who can do that. So Lord, be with our friends that we find here in our bulletin today, but there are others who aren't even mentioned that are going through things that are difficult, and they probably don't feel well today, but somehow, some way, may you turn their hearts and their minds towards you, if they're not already, where they can just say, I'm trusting in you, and I'm waiting upon you, Lord. Have it your way. You're the potter, and I am the clay. So thank you for this morning. Thank you for the music today that is being played, that we can sing. We have a lot to be thankful for. Thank you for the refreshments that will follow the service today as well, as far as just coming to your table to commune with you this morning as well. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, anybody here who will say that? I'm not a sinner. You're a liar if you do. The word says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're going to do that right now. A little self-examination, just between you and God. Just a private little thing here that good Lutherans do, because we don't want to be too vocal on a lot of things. But spend some time in the Lord. Do some self-examination. Ask God, His Holy Spirit, to reveal to you the sins in your heart and in your life that you can confess them. That's why we do this. So let's go and do that to the Lord right now for some reflection and some self-examination. Heavenly Father, there is no one here who is perfect. There's only one who is perfect, and that's your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for him. It's why we come to worship him. Not anyone else, but it's all about Jesus. And so, Lord, Our sins are many. My sins are too many for a silent time to confess. We would probably stay here all day. As you would reveal to us different kinds of sin that we do. And it's not that we want to, it's just kind of who we are. We're just sinners. It's the easiest thing for us to do. And so, Lord, we come to you today asking for forgiveness that you grant to those who humble themselves and will confess each sin. That we can leave here today clean and knowing that we're forgiven. So, Lord, change us from the inside out. And may we leave today differently than the way we came in, because we spent time with Jesus here this morning. And so, most merciful God, say it with me. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Thank you for doing that, Lord. Amen. Seated, or you can go down and probably stand, because I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. His message comes to us. You know, if you can't stand, that's fine too. You know, that's entirely up to you. And we will not look down on you, because if you can't stand, It's just the way it gets sometimes. Someday I'm not going to be able to stand either. But it comes from Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, in Jesus' name. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He was a healthy eater. And this was his message. Here's what he said to those who came. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Big difference. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words that we have before us today, the words that we have heard. Now, Lord, bring them to life in each of our hearts and lives here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you remember last Sunday, we saw the first in Joseph and Mary's life after Jesus was born. Just think of it. This is the first Sunday of 2024. We're looking at first today. There's a lot in our text I never saw before. And it is Epiphany Sunday, which means you see something you didn't see before. So I hope you have an epiphany here this morning as well. But we know that Mary and Joseph became parents when Jesus was born, and he was the firstborn of Mary. That means something if you're the firstborn. How many of you here are firstborn? I mean, I'm not. I'm in the middle. So some of you know what that's like. You know, there's a little bit more responsibility placed on you being the firstborn. We found out that last week that Jesus needed to be circumcised as a Hebrew male child, 8 days old, beginning of suffering for us in his young life. Mary and Joseph then complied with the law of Moses, and then she went through her first purification process after having her first baby. Took her 40 days of purification before she would be considered clean. And that is when they then went to Jerusalem. They took Jesus with them, of course. They named him there in Jerusalem at the temple. And they consecrated him, which means that they gave him to the Lord. They thanked the Lord for him. And they dedicated him into his care, not knowing what he was going to become. As any parent, when you even baptize your child or see a baptism, or when you have your first child or little ones, whatever they are, you always go like, I wonder what they're going to grow up and be. Some don't get that opportunity. Some see their children get into messes in life, go through difficult things. Some have stillborn babies. We call it stillborn. Or a child gets cancer and they don't even make it to age 4. There are some who die of drug overdose even when they get into their 20s and 30s and 40s or 50s. In a perfect world, it's like the parents should die first. And then the kids will have their turn along the way. But it doesn't work that way, my friends. We don't know when, and we don't know how. But we are to be ready. Are you ready this morning? We don't know who's not going to be here next Sunday. We think everyone will be here, but we don't know. There could be someone that we hear of that has died. When Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple, remember, they had to redeem their son and they had to give a sacrifice for him. And that's typical for a Jewish family. And therefore, they needed a sacrifice. So because they chose, that's all they could afford was two doves or two young pigeons. Those birds had to be sacrificed, they had to be killed as a sacrifice for Jesus. They could not afford a lamb. Therefore, we believe that they were poor people. So when we look at Mark, we jump forward like 30 years. Probably a little bit, not quite as many as that, but we jump ahead 30 years in Mark, in the beginning of chapter 1. And he starts out in his gospel, as he writes it, focusing on the prophet Isaiah, and what he said 600 some years earlier, that there would be a voice calling in the wilderness or in the desert. And that's where Mark starts. He focuses on John the Baptist. So if you look at verses 2 and 3 that precedes where we start today, you will notice that there are the words of Isaiah the prophet, of what he says, and now John the Baptist is saying he's a fulfillment of what Isaiah the prophet said. He is the one who's coming to prepare the people for the coming Messiah. So this is the first for the people of Israel. John the Baptist is the first unusual rabbi they've ever seen, the first unusual preacher that has ever come into their presence. He's out in the boonies, near the Jordan River, preaching. What is his message? It says here, right in God's word here, it says, he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So it was kind of a little bit of a hellfire, brimstone kind of preaching. If God is talking to you, John the Baptist would say you need to come, confess your sins, and to be baptized in the river. I've seen the Jordan River. I have watched some friends go into the Jordan River to be baptized. I saw different groups around the world go to the Jordan River. There's a place where you go in Israel back in the day where people go there to be baptized. Some would be immersed. Some would kneel down over the cement, and the pastor or the priest was inside standing in the water, and he would lift up water over their heads. There were some that were in the water, and they just bowed down, and they were sprinkled, or the hand would just bring up the water from the Jordan River and put on their heads. There's just a lot of different ways. I'm going like, interesting that there's so many different ways that people have been baptized. The Bible doesn't say there is any one right way, but it does say it's important that you are baptized. It's a way of letting others know, too. If you haven't been baptized as an infant, as an adult, it's letting others to say, like, I want you to know that I am going to follow Jesus in my life. There is fruit that comes from being baptized, and there's fruit that comes from repentance as well. And so John the Baptist is someone that is not in a synagogue, or he's not in the temple where you'd think you'd find a preacher or a rabbi at this time. He's out in the boonies and he's not dressed in a suit like I am. He's wearing a whole different outfit, made out of camel's hair, which is probably not an easy thing to wear. Stiff, coarse hair, with a leather belt around him. And he's out in, you know, there are no pews, there are no chairs. It's just that people would sit on the ground or whatever and listen to him, and then he would invite them to come into the water to be baptized, but it was confessing their sins. They needed to do a little self-evaluation in their own hearts and lives as far as where they at in their relationship with God. You know, there's something about having something that's new. They are first. When something is new, it's usually a first. You know, have you ever had a new car? Makes a difference when you have a new car versus an old clunker. But usually if there's something new that has happened in your life, it's also a new experience, and you remember that. Even as kids, and even if you're grandparents and there's a little one, you just can't wait till they take that first step. You know, they go, "Watch this." One step and you let them fall on their face. And everybody celebrates. Hey, they took their first step. And then later on, it's like they lost their first tooth. Or they got their first tooth. They get them and then they lose them. And the older you get, you lose them again. Oh. Wow. How about tying your shoes? You know, nowadays it's everything's Velcro or you just slip on. But back in the day, you had to learn how to tie your shoes. And that was a big thing. You'd have to say, "Mommy, Daddy," or if you had a brother, "Show me how to tie my shoes. I want to do it myself." Beginning of independence. You got tired of asking your mom or dad to tie your shoes or for someone to tie your shoes for you. Remember those days? Long time ago. And then your first car. How about your first date? You remember who that was? Well, then there's the first kiss. And we'll stop there. Okay. But there's a lot of things that happen in life that are firsts. John the Baptist does things and he dresses in a way that just is not the norm of the day. He's a first of his kind. And yet God uses him. And so notice the first thing that takes place in what it says here in Mark is that the people confessed. And we just did that. And like I prayed too, it's like, you know, we really do not do that justice. There's no way you can ask God to forgive you of all your sins in 2 minutes of silence. And let's just go like, "Okay, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive all my sins. Done." And maybe some of you pray like that. I don't. I want it to mean something. Just like praying at a meal. We all grew up, "Come Lord Jesus, be our guest, da da da, you know. Amen. Let's eat." I never did like that. Because I knew it wasn't from the heart. If it was meant by the ones who were praying it, if it meant something, then okay. And it can be done that way, but a lot of times we would pray so fast because we're so hungry and we could start eating right away, but we had to pray first. But did it really mean anything when you stopped to pray before your food? The people who heard John the Baptist, they responded in a way that they had never done in their lives before. They would have to be going forth, and as going forward, they would be admitting to their sin. They were sinners and needed forgiveness. And they confess their sins. There's something about confessing your sins that brings good things into your life. First of all, it takes humility. It's not just something you do to do it. It takes humility. God, I'm a real big stinker. No, I'm worse than a big stinker. I'm just a terrible sinner. Will you forgive these sins that continually are in my life? Maybe you don't do them, but guess what? Do you think them? If you think them, Jesus says it's just like doing them. But it takes humility to admit when you're wrong. Ask your wives. Your husbands, are they easy to say that they're wrong? Or maybe your husbands need to ask your wives. Is it easy for them to say, "You're right, honey"? I always have Sharon say it twice. I kind of go like, "What? What'd you say?" I said, "I'm sorry." You know? But I need to practice that myself. Humility. We know that God does not like pride, arrogance, but a humility, a contrite heart. Is what God is looking for in every believer, a contrite heart. It's not about you. It's about Him. Don't try to be a macho man or a macho woman, because that does not fit in God's picture. You're a sinner. That'll take away any macho-ness you have to admit that. And then Mark goes on and he wants his hearers to believe. The first thing they need to do is to believe. Confess, yes. And now to believe. And so how does that come about here in our text? Who shows up? Well, John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan River. Who shows up this day? The man from Nazareth, Jesus. And what's really interesting is that Mark tells us about Jesus' first baptism and his only baptism, and he did not need to be baptized because he was perfect. Figure that one out. But Jesus came to identify with humanity, with us. He was not going to be able to, you know, he wasn't going to make it where everyone could say, "Well, he didn't get baptized, so then I don't need to get baptized." Jesus still humbled himself and got baptized. And as he came up out of the water, there's something very interesting that takes place here. The first time ever. Everyone there saw and they witnessed what looked like the Holy Spirit, like a dove coming to land on him. It wasn't just Jesus who this happened to, but people saw this. looked like a dove. And that's why sometimes when you see in a church somewhere, if you see a dove outside on their building, or if you go into their church, you see a dove and a cross type of a thing, it just means they're referring to the Holy Spirit. And then the first thing, again, that they heard the first time in their lives at this whole kind of a setting in baptism by the Jordan River is, was that thunder? It wasn't thunder. But they heard the words of God. They heard an audible voice that says, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now everyone who was there heard that. Another first. And so for the very first time, you put together the triune God is there. You got the Father, who it's his voice, the Son, who is there in his presence, just like I'm here with you, and then the Holy Spirit that came like a dove. And when Jesus comes to you, there's a power that he gives that can come from nowhere else other than him. I can attest to that power because there are things that have gone on in my life that I tried to stop doing myself and could never do that. And I would even pray with a little bit of a chuckle saying, "God isn't going to answer this prayer." But he did. One was drinking. I love beer. Too much. I don't drink anymore because when I got out of the military, I realized beer had a control of my life. Alcohol had a control of my life. I did not control it. Another thing I had a problem with is I had a military mouth. And some of you know what that is. Could cuss and swear like no one else. I couldn't have a conversation with one sentence without cussing and swearing. And I tried to stop both of those things myself because I said, this isn't good. I'm going to stop this. And I tried really, really hard. Never worked. And then I prayed. I was in college and I prayed in my little cubicle saying, "Lord, help me with this. This is not good. I confessed it as sin." And the interesting thing is that when my roommates, I had five other roommates in this one room in college, that when they came back into the room, they said, "Tim, you're different. What happened?" I go, "I'm not different." I wasn't going to tell them that I just prayed. I just said, I'm the same old Tim. They go, "No, there's something different about you." I go, "Like what?" They go, "Like, well, you haven't cussed." "Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I'm just asking the Lord to help me with that. I don't like doing that." And then they said, "By the way, could you go out and buy us some beer and things that we would like to get? We're on a party this weekend." And I go, "Like, hey, guys, no. I'm not going to do that anymore." And they go, "What? What do you mean you're not going to do that anymore?" And I said, "Well, I just asked Jesus into my heart, into my life, and I want him to help me, and I really believe he's helping me." And haven't touched alcohol since then. Haven't sworn since then. Well, I guess I have, maybe a couple of times. You don't want me to come and do your plumbing for you. If I do, you come over and do your plumbing, then you must leave the house. Something about that, and maybe it's a way to humble me of saying, like, see, you can't do it without the Lord helping you. And so, I mean, I share this with my confirmation kids because a lot of them think that you can live whatever way you want to live. And I'm just saying that you want to live God's way, and God will help you do that. It's interesting that some of these kids nowadays, they go like, I can't believe you used to do that. And I go, hey, I'm just like you. But I always tell them, I said, you know, even though I don't say it outwardly, I still think it. So if you think it, it's just like doing it. Today could be your first time when you see that you need to confess your sins and that you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe today is that day. What a greater way there's no better way to start a new year. Forget the memberships to diets and to the YMCA. Today, let Jesus into your heart and life and live for him. You might say here today, I know what I was like in 2023, and I'm not going to go back there. I don't want to be that way like I was in 2023. Instead, I'm going to go forward and place my trust in Jesus Christ in 2024, which is today. If the Lord is nudging you and telling you to give in to him, to trust in him, please do it. Because remember what John the Baptist said in John's gospel. He says this, after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. A lot of the other gospel writers leave out a lot of details what happens here. Mark condenses it. But it is also in John where John says that John the Baptist, John chapter 1, verse 29, he says this. John the Baptist says to the people, look, there's the Lamb of God. He's referring to Jesus. He's the one who takes away the sin of the world. He took my sins. He still deals with me with my sins because I still sin because I'm still a sinner. But I need him. I'm not perfect. And neither are you. That means we all are in the same boat. We all need Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the first Sunday of 2024. Will this be the first Sunday that we who are here today will remember as a day in which we placed our faith in Jesus Christ? Will it be today? Amen. I invite you to stand as we move into our communion service where we recite the Apostles' Creed And notice it says I, not we, when you say this creed. Say it along with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. On the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said to them, "This is my body." First time he said this, Last Supper. He says to them, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he then took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them. And he said to them, "Drink all of it." For the first time he mentions, "This is my blood. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And so that's why we have communion. We're to do this until he comes again. It's for us to come before the Lord and do what? Confess. I'm a beggar. I have nothing to give. But Lord, I come to receive only what you can give to me. That's kind of what communion is. We come as beggars. It's hard for us even to comprehend what that means. I'm a beggar. If you haven't taken communion here, just want you to know that there's two stations. First station is here. You can come up and walk and receive. Someone will serve you. And you go and sit back down. Others can go up to the altar if you wanted to kneel. If you can't kneel because of your knees or something like that, you can still stand. You'll still be served. You can still spend your time up there one-on-one with the Lord. You can stay there as long as you want. When you're done, just come back and sit down. I'm going to need some help this morning because I don't think there's enough people that have shown that they will serve, but I think we're okay. So with that, I'm going to ask the servers to come forward. I need someone to usher people to know when they can come up, and we will get started. Steve, come on up. Yep, Steve. Okay, Iris, you want to take that one? Take that basket there? Well, I'm not here to argue. I'm just saying, take that one there. And then, you want to, who do you got helping you?
Steve.
Okay, Steve, you can be here. Help her. Thanks. Just
Thank you.
our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction. He has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Would you please stand and sing the last hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal, as we ask the Lord to lead us on through 2024.